What is in a dream? A dream by any other dream would be just as weird for you and I. I mean, we do. We dream weird dreams, don't we? Well, King Nebuchadnezzar has a weird dream, and it's recorded for us here in Daniel chapter 4. It's a message called May the Lord Revive Us. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We invite you to join us today as we take a look at Daniel chapter 4 and this dream that Nebuchadnezzar has, and how Daniel interprets this dream and all of the significance that's wrapped up in it. Won't you join us with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace? Once again, our teacher and pastor, Pastor Chris Gordon.
Let's give our attention to the reading of God's Word. King Nebuchadnezzar, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It has seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and prospering in my palace. I saw a dream that made me afraid. As I lay in bed, the fancies and the visions of my head alarmed me. So I made a decree that all the wise men of Babylon should be brought before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers came in, and I told them the dream, but they could not make known to me its interpretation. At last, Daniel came in before me, he who was named Belteshazzar, after the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And I told him the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too difficult for you, tell me the visions of my dream that I saw in their interpretation. The visions of my head as I lay in bed were these. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong, and its top reached to heaven, and it was visible to the ends of the whole earth. Its leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the heavens lived in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head as I lay in bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. He proclaimed aloud and said thus, chop down the tree and lop off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But leave the stump of the roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze amid the tender grass of the field. Let him be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beasts of the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed from a man's, and let a beast's mind be given to him, and let 7 periods of time pass over him. The sentence is by the decree of the watchers. The decision is by the word of the holy ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will and sets over it the lowliest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, saw. And you, O Belteshazzar, tell me the interpretation, because all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was dismayed for a while, and his thoughts alarmed him. The king answered and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation alarm you. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, may the dream be for those who hate you, and its interpretation for your enemies. The tree you saw, which grew and became strong so that its top reached to heaven and it was visible to the end of the whole earth, whose leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant and in which was food for all, under which beasts of the field found shade and in whose branches the birds of the heavens lived, it's you, O king, who've grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown and reaches to heaven and your dominion to the ends of the earth. And because the king saw a watcher, a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, and let him be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 periods of time pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. It is a decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and you shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. And as it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be confirmed for you for the time that you know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and says, is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. At the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and lords sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. And that is the last record of Nebuchadnezzar we have. That ends the reading of God's word. Well, I want you to hear what measures were just implemented in China in September. One of you passed this to me and I was kind of stunned from World Magazine. Listen to this. The National Religious Affairs Administration enacted new measures on September 1 that further limit religious activities. The updated measures mandate registered religious groups support the Chinese Communist Party, study government documents, and thoroughly implement Chinese President Xi Jinping's ideology of socialism with Chinese characteristics. Groups must have management personnel who love the motherland. The rules prohibit groups from naming their venues after churches or holding authorized religious activities outside their premises. The only correct perspective in the eyes of the communist government is the worship of the state and placing faith in Xi Jinping's thought. Did you catch that? The worship of the state. I could not have written a better script for what we're studying today, where we are in the book of Daniel. Extreme patriotism they want there in the worship of the state. Well, this is exactly what Nebuchadnezzar did last time. He erected a 90-foot, remember, golden statue that represented Babylon in all of its glory and in all of its greatness. And what he did, as we looked at, was take all of the sort of syncretized religious activity, and he made and formed a massive idolatry that united it all together in the worship of Babylon. Babylon was to be the center of all their affections, the center of all their pursuits. The center of everything was Babylon. He fused together religion with the idolatry of devotion and patriotism to the nation. And there always remains a great danger to confuse the politics of this age with our religion, with our faith, as if the preservation of the nation, the preservation of the kingdom of this earth, the preservation of our nation is the most important issue of life right now. That's what the pressure is. And what does it distract us from? The King. His glorious kingdom. The most important message for people that is lost in these times is they need a Savior from their sins. Well, that's what we're studying today. Nebuchadnezzar still has not learned something. He still has not understood something. And that is said twice in our text as sort of the central theme, with the last verse tying it all together. Verse 17, the living should know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will. We've been saying that. Whoever is a leader is given that position from the Lord. And he sets it over the lowest of men. Again in verse 25. And tell Nebuchadnezzar, you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. That's the sort of main point, ending with that last verse, that those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. So there's the themes that are put together here this morning. What dawned on me this morning as we look at this, and this is verse 25, that all these themes come together, the main point, the question is what did God want his people, particularly throughout history, to understand? I think this is an important passage that it'd be fun to say, this is just interesting. This is just interesting stuff to study. This is fascinating stuff to study. I mean, we get to hear about a king whose nails grow that long. But that's not really the whole point of it. Why is God telling us this? What is God showing us with this? And God was telling everyone, never put your trust in Babylon or any king or kingdom or ruler of this world. They have a short shelf life in the big picture. Every nation, every ruler has a very short shelf life. And all of it's given from the Lord. But the point is, what dawned on me is that Nebuchadnezzar, I never thought about this before in this way, Nebuchadnezzar becomes a sort of parable of Israel herself. Think about this. God raises up this king and this great kingdom in the earth. But in pride, he refuses to acknowledge the God of heaven and earth as the source of his blessing and strength. And today, what happens? In a moment, the kingdom is taken from him. And then he raises him up again. Whose story is that? Whose story is that? It's Israel's story. They were the great nation in the earth that were the Lord's nation, the holy nation. And because of pride and because of rebellion, God cut down that branch. But then he would raise them up again under a very humble king. A very humble king. And that's where we're going with this today. I trust you'll see that by the time we're done. We begin with the emphasis on Nebuchadnezzar's glorious kingdom as spoken of in this vision. Notice in chapter 4 begins with another of Nebuchadnezzar's praise moments to the Lord, which is fascinating. To all peoples, nations, and languages who dwell on the earth, which really captures how much supremacy and power this one king had over every nation on the earth. He's speaking to them all. That's how lifted up he is. So much power he had. He again offers lip praise to God Most High. How great his signs and wonders are. How mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. How mighty are his wonders. Nebuchadnezzar had seen them. But here's the open-ended question. Did it lead to a true conversion of his life and heart? Was he sincerely converted? I mean, I think that's the question everyone wants to know about Nebuchadnezzar, and I think it's purposefully challenging. Well, we come to this second vision. He says, I was resting in my house, flourishing in my palace, and I saw a dream that made me greatly afraid. And as before, I called in all the wise men of Babylon, and they could not make known the interpretation. But then Daniel came before me, and I, Nebuchadnezzar, realized in him is the spirit of God or the gods. I'm not spending a lot of time on that right now, but the visions of his head are straightforward. He sees a giant tree. It's a tall tree. Notice the language. Its height reached up in his dream to the heavens. It's the same language, of course, as the Tower of Babel. This tree could be seen to the ends of the earth. This tree was a mighty tree. And this tree fed everyone. It gave all shade to all the nations of the earth. That's how great this tree was. And then he says, as I watched, a watcher, a holy one, comes down from heaven. And he chops down the tree. And he lops off its branches. And the whole thing gets cut off, only leaving a stump and the roots in the earth. And verse 16 becomes very crucial. Let his heart be changed from that of a man, and let him be given a heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him. All of this was that the living would know that the Most High dwells in the kingdom of men, dwells over, and gives it to whomever he chooses. And he sets it over the lowest of men. This is my dream, Nebuchadnezzar says. This is my dream. Belteshazzar, I want you to declare the interpretation of the dream. The spirit of the gods is in you. And Daniel is astonished for a moment. He's troubled because he knew this was not a good dream. He knew this was a very bad dream for Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, if only this vision concerned your enemies and those who hate you. He knows it didn't. Nebuchadnezzar says, don't worry about it. I want you to tell me. I want you to tell me the truth. I want you to tell me what this dream means. Here's what you saw. Here's what's going to happen, Nebuchadnezzar. You're the tree. You became this great and mighty tree in the earth. Your greatness has reached up into the heavens and your dominion to the ends of the earth. But an angel is going to come down and he's going to chop you down. But he's going to leave your stumps and root in the earth. O king, you will be driven from among men. Your kingdom will be taken. Your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field. You're going to eat grass like oxen. The dew of heaven is going to pass over you seven times, probably 7 years. And then, just like that, when you recognize who is truly sovereign here, when you recognize who's ruling on earth, who heaven rules everything, then in a moment your kingdom will be restored to you. Verse 27. What does Daniel do with this? The heart of this comes in verse 27. Here's my advice. Let it be acceptable to you, O king. Break off your sins. Break off your sins. Be righteous. Your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. This is so important. You were given everything you are from the Lord. Now, who are we talking about here? We're not talking about a righteous king. Your success, your prosperity, your blessing, your life, your kingdom, your greatness, all of that's from the Lord. But you still haven't learned this. You think your life is an achievement by your own success and your own making. And you are so full of pride, you can't even see none of it's from you. Now here's the humiliation. You've taken glory for yourself. You've not learned that there is nothing you are, body, intellect, mind, will, success. Whatever gift you have in your life that got you ahead, whatever wisdom you had that got you ahead, all of it was from God. You have given no glory to Him. You think you deserve this because of the greatness of your greatness? Now, this is where the passage gets intensely practical. This is a universal principle, so crucial to the book. What are we looking at here? We're looking at everything. We're looking at Israel. Why is Israel in Babylon? Israel forgot. Israel forgot what God said. Don't you ever think that I chose you for your own greatness. God did not choose you, O Israel, because you were strong and you were mighty. In fact, God chose Israel when they were small and they were weak and they were in bondage and they were without a land. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today, you shall perish. This gives a lot of context to what we're seeing in the Middle East in some ways. They were the tree. Nebuchadnezzar shouldn't have been the tree. Babylon shouldn't have been the tree. They were the vine. Psalm 80, you brought out a vine out of Egypt and you cast out the nations and you planted it and you prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root. You prepared room and for it and caused it to take deep root and it filled the land and the hills were covered with its, ready, shadow. The nations were under the shadow of Israel. But you broke down her hedges, Psalm 80. Why, O Lord? Why did Israel fall? Pride. They forgot the Lord.
We do trust that our time together today has brought about some real encouragement in your walk and relationship with Christ. We'd love to hear from you. You can always reach out to us and let us know how the broadcast encourages you in Christ. Now, there are a couple of ways of reaching out to us. You can visit us online, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or by calling 888-504-8805. If you have questions, write them to us, questions@agradio.org. Or use your voice memo app on your smartphone or your device. Record your question, and again, mail it to us, questions@agradio.org, and we'll do our best to answer them as they come to us. Abounding Grace Radio is on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can visit our website for links to the platform that you like to follow. And if you have an interest in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, well, we are listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program, how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, well, get in touch with us. As always, no gift is too small or too large. One-time gift, recurring gift, it all sustains this broadcast here on this station. You can go to agradio.org and donate online securely or call 888-504-8805 or send your donation via mail, Abounding Grace, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Again, thank you for taking some of your valuable time and directing it our way. It's greatly appreciated, and we trust you've been encouraged in Christ. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.